Welcome to the broadcast of Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned after the message to find out how you can order a copy and learn more information about this dynamic ministry. Now, here's your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
Praise the Lord. This is your host, Pastor John Massey Jr. of Alive and Remain Ministries. Thank you for tuning in again. Before we proceed any further, we are going to ask God to bless this internet broadcast. Precious Lord God, in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, again, we thank you. We honor you. We thank you for this marvelous opportunity and privilege to expound the word of truth. We ask that you keep us from the spirit of error and that you enrich the listeners that they will be able to assimilate what thus saith the Lord. Bless, and we shall be blessed in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. This is, again, Pastor Massey struggling over exactly what to say because there are so many pertinent issues that the church is being confronted with. And as believers, we must ask ourselves, what should the world church be emphasizing? What should be the emphasis of the gospel in the time in which we're living in? Well, Paul the Apostle categorizes these times as dangerous times. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, this is what Paul says, writing to Bishop Timothy. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, or the end times, or the last times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. The question we must ask is, what are doctrines of devils, and how are they going to be seduced? Obviously, from the text, this ought to be something that we should be addressing. Then in the second epistle that he writes to Bishop Timothy at Ephesus, Paul in chapter 3 and 1 says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So if we make a composite, if we correlate these scriptures, it is obvious that doctrine seems to be an issue. Well, you say, Pastor, why do you say that? Because Paul says, speaking to Timothy again, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So if you're not enduring sound doctrine, then this is what you call a lethal formula for heresy. That is false teaching in the church that cannot be substantiated, correlated, and referenced consistently in the Bible. Regrettably, preachers are just speaking from emotionalism and from philosophical positions that they have been taught or they have acquired. Very few preachers will stay in the unadulterated word of God. Instead of using scripture to interpret scripture, they will spiritualize a particular scripture. They will isolate it from the rest of the context that it is given and the rest of the Bible, and they will spiritualize it. Let me explain this. There has been an old saying, and it's so true. The old is in the new explained, the new is in the old contained. That is, the Old Testament is explained in the New Testament, and the New Testament is contained in the Old Testament. So we should use scriptures to interpret scriptures instead of isolating a passage and then spiritualizing it. Now, It is obvious, if you know anything about the times in which we're living in, that these are dangerous or perilous times. Let me give you a few quotes about some of those that believe that these were perilous or dangerous times when they were alive. For instance, 4 presidents of the United States were assassinated while in office. Question we got to ask is why. There was President Lincoln, President James Garfield, President William McKinley, and quite naturally, President John F. Kennedy. Why were these 4 presidents assassinated? Well, it is hard to develop in such a relatively short period of time, but it was a conspiracy against them. Well, if it was a conspiracy, who orchestrated, who controlled, who influenced, who plotted these assassinations? I would suggest the same entities that were in existence then are in existence today. Let us quote from President Kennedy. He talked about esoteric groups, that is, secret groups, where you have to pledge an oath. Now, we're not talking about the lower level or the entry levels. We're talking about the hierarchy. He said the very word secrecy, and I'm quoting, is repugnant to a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. This is the President of the United States. This is what President Kennedy says. There's a very grave danger, perilous, that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by these anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. Well, when we're thinking about censorship and concealment, we're talking about the media. Let me finish the quote. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it is in my control. This is the then President John F. Kennedy. Further, he goes on to say, we are the people of America, are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy. Now, today, if you use the word conspiracy, they're ridiculed. You are an idiot. Well, he said a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy means just rock solid around the world. That implies primary, quoting, that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion. We have been infiltrated, on subversion instead of election. Now, wait a minute. What about the electoral process? What about our elected officials? Well, President Kennedy is saying on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system, this is the president, it is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources in the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine. Do you understand what President Kennedy is saying? A tightly knit, highly efficient machine that, listen, combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned. No rumor is printed. No secret is revealed. If this is true, which it is, what then, if the president then of the United States is trying to warn the public, what then should the pastors be warning the churches about? Paul the Apostle calls it dangerous times. Then on top of that, it's inescapable. You have sitting mayor John Holland's most famous words against, he called them, quote unquote, the interests. In a speech in 1922, he said, "The real menace of our republic is this invisible government." Now, wait a minute. The largest city in America, the mayor, sitting mayor, talks about an invisible government. So what he's saying, the government that is visible is really not the government that is in control. He says, which is like a giant octopus sprawls its slimy length over city, state, and nation. He said an invisible government rules over the city, state, and nation. He says it seizes its and powerful tentacles our executive offices. Now, wait a minute. So if we have a president of the United States, he's saying it controls the executive officers, our legislative bodies, our schools, our courts, our newspapers, and every agency created for public protection. This is what a sitting mayor is saying. To depart from mere generalities, let me say that the head of this octopus are the Rockefeller, Standard Oil interests, and a small group of powerful banking houses, generally referred to as the international bankers. Now, before I go any further, let's just digest on this a little bit. International bankers. Out of the 192 or 194 countries that belong to the United Nations, 100% or 99% of them are in debt. The question is, who are they indebted to? They're indebted to the bankers. Well, who are these bankers? Well, let's look at the banking system in the world. In America, first of all, we have the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation of international and local and American bankers. Then you have the World Bank, which is headquarters in Washington, D.C. That, again, is a privately owned entity of business. And the list just goes on. And then you have the notorious IMF, the International Monetary Fund, which is owned by international bankers. So the question is, who are these faceless bankers? Let me give you an illustration, food for thought. Forbes every year always publishes out the most wealthiest people in the world. That list is a list that's really negligible when it comes to the real wealth of the world. They cannot even rival the families, the interests that control the monies of the world. Wherever there's a central bank, there is an international trail that links together with them. So who are all of these faceless international bankers? Well, the Bible calls them the rulers of darkness of this world. Money controls, money dictates. Let's use for illustration some of the destabilization that has occurred in other countries as it is occurring in America, as it is being propagated in the churches in America. And I can qualify those statements. Well, first of all, if I am going to plot against my government of any particular country, and I am what you call an also run or person of no substance, I have to get the monies from somewhere to destabilize, to try to topple or overthrow my government. It must come in from somewhere. Let's use Adolf Hitler during World War II, during the 30s, prior to the war. He was a poor, starving artist. Where did the financing come from? Where did the financing come from the Russian Revolution? It doesn't matter. Where did it come from? During the Civil War here in America, President Lincoln, and I'm going to paraphrase this quote, he said there are two enemies that he had to deal with. This is during the time of the Civil War, the North against the South. He said there is the Confederate Army before him and the international bankers behind him. He said of the two foes, the one that he is most concerned about is that international banking system that is behind him. And well, this is the issue. Every president that has stepped out of line, they have been assassinated. There's no question about it. Well, then when you go back to all these other countries and social unrest and political upheaval, someone, some entity is financing it. Why? Because if you read Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, it will tell you that it would suggest or intimate that there is a monolithic conspiracy in the whole world, not just against America. What? To take all of the sovereign nations, all of the sovereignties, and galvanize them into a one world government that Matthew, Mark, and Luke calls all nations, and a synonym today for all nations is the United Nations. Oddly as it might be, this particular four-headed monster is headquarters in New York City. Interesting. The land happened to be donated by the Rockefellers, and the financing was by a group of Americans. Now, let's see if we can make sense of what is happening here as believers. The Bible warns us about perilous, about dangerous times. Yet, the church has been seduced into believing that the new administration is bringing in a better hope. Nothing could be any sadder or more deceptive than to believe that the arm of flesh is going to rectify all of the evils, and that it's going to be like a Pandora, which is contrary to the Bible. Paul, again, talking to Timothy, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is during the dangerous and perilous times. It is insinuating that things are going to progressively get worse, not better. How is it possible that the church can put so much confidence in the arm of flesh and yet will not look to God in faith to deliver our souls for this final onslaught or attack against the church of God? Remember, the devil is mounting his final assault on the church, and the church is living in blindness. This is one of the spiritual indictments in the third chapter of Revelation, the Laodicean church. All what we call conservative believers, expositors, believe that the third chapter of Revelation, the Laodiceans, typifies and foreshadows the last church age era in which we're living in. This is an indictment from the Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Chapter 3 and 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But listen to this. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked? Wait a minute. This is the Lord Jesus Christ indicting his church. Blindness. Well, this is the problem with the church. We are blinded to the truth. Right now, as we see it unfold before our eyes, scriptures being fulfilled, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, famines, rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places. This ought to send up red flags that we ought to be preparing to survive this final assault on the church. Now, quite naturally, there are those who are hoping that the church is going to totally escape this final assault. May I ask you this question? Did the first church escape its assault? Today, there are Christians dying in the name of Jesus Christ. They are not escaping their assault. Why do we Americans believe that we're going to escape our assault? Well, it's irrational to believe that. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. We feel as though that we are invincible in America. Regrettably, most churches don't even know how to prepare. But I'm telling you how to prepare for this final assault. There is no substitute for prayer. We neglect prayer as though it's the bubonic plague. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have the discipline to fast, to consecrate ourselves. We don't have the discipline to study the Bible. All we want to do, and I'm not saying it's anything against it, is run to the Bible bookstore, find a commentary, and read the commentary about what the Bible has to say. Well, that is a commentary is no substitute for the benefits, the spiritual benefits that you will derive from reading the scriptures. The reason why we go to commentaries, because we it's easy and it's a lazy way of finding out what's in the Word of God. We don't want to put forth the effort to study. Consequently, there are so many commentaries on this, on that subject, and the problem with the commentary, it is merely someone else's opinion. That's why I challenge all of my listeners, don't take my opinion. Search the scriptures. The Bible says search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. You know why? Because you won't really know until you spend the time yourself. Look, we're talking about eternity. We're talking about either spending it with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or we're talking about spending it in hell. You must put some effort into your walk with Christ. I believe it's in 2 Peter chapter 2 and 1. When Peter talks about this, he says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue or excellence, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen to what Peter has to say. And besides this, given all diligence, you know what diligence is? Diligence is constant effort to accomplish that which has been undertaken. Again, constant effort to accomplish that which has been undertaken. And to your faith add virtue, that is some excellence, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Listen what Peter has to say. For if these things be in you and abound, that is increase, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful, here it goes, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. This is the problem. We lack these things and cannot see afar off, talking about faith, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins, or what he or she was saved from. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, here goes Peter, give diligence, constant effort to accomplish that which has been undertaken. Give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail, never fall. And remember, this is the time that the Bible says the coming of the Lord is going to occur. It says that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. Peter says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. It means we must put some effort in to our salvation. It is something that we are constantly, daily working at. Paul says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. He also says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. You must realize there's some things that God expects us to do. We have to read, we have to study, we have to pray, we have to consecrate ourselves, we have to give alms, we have to pay tithes, we have to give offerings, we have to sacrifice. If ever there was a time that dictated or necessitated sacrificing, it's now. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Most of us don't even know what God's will for us in our lives. That's why we don't understand the danger that we're living in. All we're doing, we are enthralled. We are, should I say, surrounded or encapsulated with nothing but dangers. There's food crisis. There's a oil crisis. There are medical crisis. There are drug crisis, prescription drug crisis, illegal drug crisis. There are mental crisis. There are war crisis, crisis. There are family crisis. There are teenage crisis. Everybody has a crisis. And how, in the name of the Lord, can anyone believe that things are going to get better? Now, I want to say this, finish real quickly from Mayor John Holland. This is what he says. I want to end this quote of the mayor from 1922. He says, they practically control both parties, write political platforms, make cat's paws of party leaders, use the leading men of private organization, and resort to every device to place in nomination for high public office only such candidates as will be amenable to the dictates of corrupt big business. That means every person of significance that in office was placed there. He said, these international bankers and the Rockefeller's oil interests control the majority of the newspapers and magazines in the country. And this is the censorship that President Kennedy was warning about. If you pick up the newspaper in Los Angeles, Chicago, Detroit, Atlanta, Florida, it doesn't matter. The main headlines that control national and international policy are all exactly the same. They are scripted. Now, as a believer, ask God to give you understanding of the dangerous and perilous times in which we're living in. Remember, these are the times of deception. Preachers are reluctant to preach these unpopular messages because there's no dynamics. Now, we're asking you, we're doing a lot of work over in Pakistan and India, and I was just over there hazarding my life with me and a few others. We ask you to write and ask us how you can bless those people over there. And this has been your host, Pastor John Massey, Jr. of Alive and Remain Ministries. I hope and pray that this broadcast will prompt you to study the Word of God so that you're not deceived in these perilous times. Please make sure to send your questions and comments to the announcer, which will give you that information. Also, we are looking to expand our airtime, and any contributions will greatly be appreciated. All contributions are tax deductible. Remember to please think, pray, and ask God for understanding. May God bless and continue to shine upon you.
You've been listening to Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries. To order a copy of this message, please call 518-272-6679. That's 518-272-6679. Alive and Remain Ministries is a part of the Redemption Church of Christ. You can visit on the web, redemptionchurch.net. And don't forget to join Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Gospel Impact Radio.